far. A four-letter word with four fingers down and one finger up. And that finger just so happens to be shaped like Gargamel's penis through a fisheye lens. And I should know, I'm the reason that exact phrasing topped the most searched terms on Pornhub in 2022.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Kaiju Lycon 2023, presented to you by Mostly Speaking Sentai. Cut the music. We need to get serious, okay? Live stream is like, what music? No, I'm getting serious. This is for the future people. All right. We either need to give a huge content warning for literally everything, or we just won't be able to talk about today's movie with, hey guys, I'm James, and that's the emissary of hell, Nicole. Mm-hmm. I guess we should have came up with Guar names. Hey, I'm the cum gutter fuck face, and
I'm the emissary of hell.
Okay, all right, that works. And we have to introduce the person who we have to accost.
We're going to have to blur the entire audio.
Yeah, we'll blur the audio. You know, put like a bed of swelling strings and Damon Albarn starts singing.
Yeah.
You know him from Sweet Child of Time, where like he talks about fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he talks about Guar, but it's crazy how like I feel like this must be what Corey felt like when we showed him the Evolved Part 1. It's Steve Barnes, Intro Void.
It's me, feeling like Corey. What's up, Bohabs?
Do we get into it right away? Do I say like, hey, Steve, if you weren't one, a very good friend of ours, mm-hmm. two, an amazing person to guest on podcasts, and three, like, you actually do promote the show and your episodes mm-hmm. generally get more listens than all the other guests.
I think I know where this is going.
I'd say you're banned.
Didn't I tell you? I told you about a month ago. I was like, yes. I think I might change my mind about this movie because I just watched it and I don't know if I want y'all to watch it or not.
I was like, well, at least it's Guar. They know what they're doing. But boy, oh boy, you think bands would know how to record audio. And we did. We messed up. We should have, I guess you could pay to rent this and it would have been a good transfer. The only one we could find was like kind of a washed out one that might have fucked it up. But I got sick. Well, like my stomach started feeling woozy.
I told you that would happen. Didn't I tell you that I would got like really weird feelings when I watched this because something about the audio, something about the reverb, mm-hmm. something about it just gives you like an uneasy feeling. It's very, yeah, you're exactly right. Especially when like they do the first like kaiju introduction where they have the screaming bird flying and the slaves are operating the bird.
Oh,
that whole scene is just nauseating. It really is. And do y'all know, I mean, I brought a lot of facts about Guar with me and I'll drop the first one on you right now, which this movie was nominated for a Grammy Award. This is a Grammy-nominated movie.
Yeah.
You know, you just watched that.
And you want to know what? I had a note written down. Yeah, I guess everyone's right. The Grammys are a scam. Why? Why was this? I guess was it like the first year long-form movies were in the categories?
It was early on, 1990, yes. And a lot of bands didn't do this kind of, I mean, many bands did. Guar were kind of loved by the media back in 1990, mm-hmm. as much hate as they got from like Christian groups and like, you know, daytime talk show would talk about how scary they were well loved by the media and they were always presented, you know, in like a loving way in most articles written about them. MTV loved them. Joan Rivers was a big Guar fan and had them on her show. Mm-hmm. That was like a real big push and that was before this movie. So I think just like the fact that they were, you know, coming up at the time and it was so unusual and it was it did not deserve a nomination for a Grammy whatsoever.
I've seen their documentary. I love the story behind them. I love their music and I love their music videos, but something about this, like I wrote down, sometimes studio interference is good.
Right. They had 100% freedom to do whatever they wanted. That's right.
Yeah, because they're like, wow, we have all this money and we can, like, we've been doing these huge productions on stage and we have all this space to film things. Let's just do it. But this kind of made me be like, you want to know what? Let's hear the AMPTP out for a little bit, okay? Writers, maybe take a back seat and let's hear the studios and what they have to say. Because, yes, sometimes we get Mystery Science Theater, but sometimes you get GWAR's Phallus in Wonderland.
Well, I wanted to bring something unusual. A couple of years ago during Kaiju Fest, y'all had, I can't remember who it was, but he came on like with a movie. Like it was barely it was a kaiju movie, but it was like starring like Anne Hathaway or something. And she was like fighting somebody.
Colossal.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's really, you know, I thought that was neat. And this movie has been like on my mind since I was a kid, because I've watched this thing so many times when it came out. It was on a regular rotation on our VHS tapes for whatever reason. We didn't even love it back then. We knew it was awful back then, but we still loved to watch it.
Why bring it to the table?
Because I remembered that they got big at the end and they were fighting in the city and knocking over buildings. And I was like, bam, Kaiju Fest, July.
That part is fantastic. I really loved that section.
I mean, I have friends that are in this movie as too. I'm not friends with GWAR, but I do have kind of associations with them, like their original guy, Hunter Jackson, who's in this. He's Techno Destructo, and he's like one of like the early founding members of GWAR. I wasn't friends with him, but I kind of knew him through associations. We went to a Halloween party together. He was dressed as a character, I guess he got from, you know, the GWAR slave pit. Mm-hmm. So he was in character. It was a cumbersome outfit, and it was a cramped party, and it was me, him, and a couple other people, and he and I were miserable for different reasons. So we hung out the whole time, and he couldn't move because every time he tried to go to the bathroom or get a beer, his costume was so huge, and the party was so crowded, he couldn't move around. So he was stuck in the corner, so I was, like, getting stuff for him, and we were both pretty miserable that night. So that's, like, the closest I ever came to, like, being buddies with GWAR is, like, hanging with him all night, I guess.
Was he like, oh, I was expecting to get a Halloween party kiss by the end of the night. Won't you help me with that? And you're like, oh, yeah, let me see if someone around. And he says, no, I need it now.
Yeah. I wasn't giving it to him. But I didn't give him a kiss. Yeah, I gave him some beers and some cigarettes.
A.K.A. kiss and enough. A kiss. That's a GWAR kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, then I told you my friend Jay DeShazo got me into him very early on. And it's this era of GWAR that I really like the best, actually. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like this group of songs. These songs on this thing are on Phallus in Wonderland are regular songs they still play now. Like they play Crack in the Egg pretty much every show. They play the Morality Squad almost every show. And, you know, their shows, for people that don't know, were very similar to like a Weird Al show where like every song has a different set piece and every song has different costumes and characters. That's how a GWAR show basically is, too. And they I guess in this era, the 90, early 90s, they were more dirty and like, what did I write down here? Their costumes were they were more disgusting and dirty and wet and form fitting. And like now their costumes, they get wet, of course, but they're really big and bulbous and more cartoonish, I would say. So I kind of really hold true to like this era of GWAR, basically. This is what I think of when I think of GWAR.
Nicole, what's your favorite era? Of just anything.
Taylor Swift eras?
Yeah.
Which era of Taylor Swift do you like?
I didn't know there were eras.
Yeah, you
the
haven't
fuck?
Heard her, this new
it's
era.
The tour.
The tour might push her over to be a billionaire and then we can start eating her. Oh my God, she must taste not that great.
Oh, like Beyonce.
We should be eating her?
I don't know. I was thinking that maybe that I watched Swarm and then it's based on true events. So I was assuming that she really did get bit by someone.
No. No, I'm saying she'll be a billionaire and then we say, oh, eat the rich.
Oh, okay.
That's where I was going with it.
Right. Bring her
rich.
To the guillotine.
Yeah, take her there and she'll say, oh, I'll write a song about you, guillotine. And then she says, oh, pierce my throat and fuck me good.
Oh, my God.
Well, she's like, hey, I'm going out. I might as well really speak my heart. You guys used to censor me. And now I can say what I want. Because you can't try a dead man. She whips out her titties and says, yeah, what about this, huh? And people are snapshotting. They're like, you want to know what? Hey, if this is what, the direction she wants to go. She says, how about you slice my labia?
Nicole, remember when James said that gwar is a four-letter word with like one finger up, right? Do y'all know what gwar stands for? Like the acronym gwar?
What?
Did y'all figure that out?
No.
Well, guess. If you don't know, guess. I'd like to hear what you think. James can come up with a good one.
Galactic warriors are radicalized.
Okay, I love this game. I love playing it when I don't know what an acronym is.
GWAR. So what does that stand for?
No, like when I don't know what...
Like when you don't know what literally the acronym means? It sounded like you were sarcastic. But do you really like doing that?
No, I'm being sincere.
Oh, okay.
I'm being sincere.
Okay.
Let's hear it then.
You have a resting sarcastic throat.
No, remember, I do know what an acronym is. I Googled it.
Okay.
I Googled what a word made out of letters when I was high. Okay. Geese wanting another revolution.
Both solid guesses.
Yeah.
God, what an awful racket.
Okay.
That's what it actually stands for. I'm assuming somebody said that to him at some point.
There should be two A's in there, though.
I know. I thought this. I think just God, what a racket is fine. But they have to say God, what an awful racket. Do the and really small.
Mm-hmm. Two A's. That's how I wish my titties were. This episode is small naturals.
I'm fitting right in.
Uh-huh.
Me too.
Nicole. Oh, these guys were on Codename Kids Next Door. That's my next fact I was going to bring up.
Gwar was?
What?
Yeah, the episode was called Operation Food Fight. And yeah, Gwar showed up and did it.
What was the acronym for Food Fight?
I did look at that when I looked it up, but I don't remember. It probably stood for Friends of Odorous.
Oh.
Do Find Infinite Tired Energy.
There we go.
Because they spelled it fight, F-I-T-E.
Okay. Because I only know that because every single episode of Codenames Kids Next Door was Operation, mm-hmm. a thing, and then that was always an acronym. I voted for that to be a TV show.
Say again? You voted for that? Oh, that's right.
One of the big pick weekends.
As it turned out, I remember it was Codename. It was like they had a contest of like five shows that you could vote for. And then eventually over the next few years, all five shows became Cartoon Network shows, if I remember correctly.
It was like 12. We wanted to do this for Should This Exist, of watching all of the pilots. Some of them are out there, and some people have been like, hey, this isn't anywhere. No one technically bought it. Here it is, beautifully remastered for anyone to watch. We wanted to like watch all of them and be like, which one should have won? Should it have been Codename Kids Next Door, or should it have been Evil Concarne, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy? That was the other one that won.
Right. Wasn't Ben 10 part of that too?
Ben 10 would not. That's like, hey, let's make a bunch of fucking toys and money. That's what Ben 10 is. That was conceived.
Kind of like He-Man.
Yeah, because all the other ones were like very artsy, like, hey, you just came out of Cal Arts, let's make you a pilot.
Yeah, Jenny Tarkowski was always a guy that I always liked his stuff. I think it was Dexter's Lab and Samurai Jack and Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, he directed a lot of that because when he did Dexter's Laboratory, he brought on Craig McCracken and that whole group of Cal Arts
dudes. That's the other one.
Plus also Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, I forgot that he was part of that. The same Seth MacFarlane.
Yes, he the
interesting
D&D episode of Dexter's Laboratory. The one is like the most known of the ones he did.
Okay, highly related to Gwar. Mm-hmm. What we got there from the Codename Kids Next Door.
Actually, Nicole, are there any performance art bands that you're big fans of?
performance art bands.
I'd be like Ghost or Slipknot, you mean? Something like that?
Yeah, people Avatar. Who have a character that they're playing, like Insane Clown yeah. Posse, I would technically say is.
Yes. Yeah. Dorian Electra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Never
the
heard.
The Sodom and Gomorrah song that just came out is a fucking banger, dude. Uh-huh. It's so good.
And if you're going to watch the music video, watch it alone. It's so hot, guys. Truly.
I love that everyone is wearing a t-shirt that says, I love sodomy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
In that music video. It's so good. Guys, watch it
and watch it alone.
Yeah, Dorian Electra.
I do like character bands. Like, of course, Gwar, like everybody in Richmond who's into metal is like a, you know, into that and is aware of that. And I mm-hmm. think that's kind of shaped some of our taste. So, you know, I liked Slipknot when they first came out. I don't care for them now, but when they came out, I thought it was a really neat concept. System of a Down was kind of like a makeup band at the time and played kind of characters on stage on their first album and kind of continued with that after a while. But, you know, more so like Ghost. I think that's a better example. I really like that, mm-hmm. that concept. And even the guy who does Ghost, Tobias Forge, has said that, like, you know, he would not object to, like, somebody else playing his character.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And the guy in Slipknot said the same thing. That's a cool thing about Gwar as well, is, like, multiple people play these characters. So, like, in this movie, we see, like, Beefcake the Mighty. He's got that big, you know, Roman helmet. And at this time, he's being played by Mike Bishop. And then he quit the band for a while, but he's currently the lead singer of the band. He's yeah. now, like, a different character. So, like, their whole thing is, like, you know, different people can portray different characters. That's fine. But, like, when Corey Smoot passed away, like, in the early 2000s, they retired his character, like, out of respect mm-hmm. because nobody else wanted to do it. And then, of course, when Dave Brocky died, exact same thing. They retired that character and went on with the band. I mean, it's – they did this by design so they could grow old and, like, be old but still do the same thing. I think it's a great concept, and it's great that they went on. Some people don't like the fact that they continued on without Dave Brocky, which is fine. You know, Odorous was great, and he was a huge presence. And in this movie, he's got, like, the best line reads. He's definitely the most fun in this movie out of everybody.
Well, Steve, you must not have heard the news.
What's the news?
That character's coming out of retirement. And I'm playing him, baby.
James, no, that's so disrespectful. We're going to boo you.
Nope.
Boo.
Yeah, I love it because I'm a alien man who loves hate now.
You're just like Gwar. You're such a troll.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what Gwar were big trolls back in their day. They just were shockingly stupid. And I think everybody was well aware that they were being goofs, except for the people that they were really making fun of.
Yeah.
And they got offended by it. But anybody with a reasonable brain knew that they were just stupid.
Yeah.
Basically. And they themselves don't even, they said that they don't even really care for metal music and the metal scene, which I think is weird because they all came from metal and yeah. they're still into metal now.
I would say at least the founding members more so came from, like, this weird theater art background.
Right. Yes. And, like, you know, loud music was an outlet for that to mm-hmm. to get the most attention, I guess.
And then they said, hey, let's make a record. And they're like, well, it's not that great. And then they're like, we should find someone who can make these records. And they're like, oh, yeah, all right. Well, isn't that, like, when things went into, like, wow, these are actually good albums?
I think Metal Blade helped with that when they got on Metal Blade Records. I mean, their first original album, Hello, I sent that song in to Who Charted, so you must have heard it. Mm-hmm. That song, Slutman City. But that album, even though it was, you know, crudely recorded, I guess, like in a Richmond studio, I believe, it still sounds great. I mean, punk rock tapes sound great for yeah. what they are. I guess their next two albums, they did go to Metal Blade. They did get a better studio sound, and they got a better guitarist. They got somebody who actually, like, would play solos and shred.
That's
and that really
saying.
Changed their sound a lot. And that's not during this era that we're seeing here. But I think a lot of that lays on Corey Smoot. I think a lot of people say it's him that brought that, like, more thrash metal edge to them that they got in the mid-90s, I guess, or early 2000s.
It's mid-naive.
Mid-naive. Pay some respect now.
Yeah, Nicole. So, do you guys want to, like, break this movie down now, note by note?
I mean, that's what we're here for.
All right, let's do it.
I've got notes, James.
My first note is they cut off his dick. And I, like, that's the crux or the catalyst, yes, of this. Otis's cuttlefish dick has been severed.
This whole movie is a parody of real life events that actually happened to the members of GWOR. Did you read up about the cuttlefish of Cthulhu and the situation they had in North Carolina?
I didn't have to read up about it. I saw the documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. Do you want to go into that or should I? Because I think it's a pretty...
I watched this documentary once. You've lived this life.
Yeah, I've lived it. That's right. 10 miles away from them. All right. Yeah, so when it was September 1990 and they were playing a club like they always do. And he had this, it's called the Cuttlefish of Cthulhu. It's about like a 3 foot long, like fake penis. That was like, the lore was it wasn't part of his body. It was a thing that attached itself to him. I think because of like advertising, like some Christian groups got hold of the fact that they were playing and they got offended. So the police were there and they were like, you can't take that thing on stage. Kind of like a Jim Morrison situation. And they're like, haha, we're going to do it anyway. So they did. They got arrested. They got arrested. It was Dave Brocky and the club owner, Michael Plumetes. They both got arrested and they confiscated the Cuttlefish of Cthulhu. And that became like state's evidence, just like in this movie. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it's still like in a locker somewhere, in a police locker in North Carolina. It still hasn't been recovered. The judge of the case where they had to go to court to face like their charges, which I think was like obscenity charges or something. The judge's name was Dick Boner. So they used the real judge's name for the movie. They named the judge Dick Boner.
See, like, I didn't know that detail, or maybe I did and forgot. But when you see that on screen, you're like, wow, that's so stupid. Why did they have to name it that? Like, that's them being children.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's someone's name.
It's the guy who did this to them. So they were banned from North Carolina for 1 year. That was like the outcome of that. So boo-hoo. I think they respected that. They didn't go there because they do play shows as Rog and they just play as like, you know, in regular human clothes and just play, you know, their songs, but without the theatrics. They didn't even do that. They withheld that.
What does Rog mean?
It's GWOR backwards.
No, but what does the acronym mean?
Means really a... What? GWOR?
Okay, all right. You got it. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for RARG right now.
But yeah, this whole thing came at like the height of like the Tipper GWOR era. So there was a lot of, this is around the same time that like Frank Zappa and like John Denver and Dee Snider were doing the PMRC thing and doing the hearings. And so GWOR was always looked upon favorably because they came up at like just the right time as all this other stuff was happening, and they were kind of like a funny, like, I don't know, taking it to the limits, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I really can't speak to it, I suppose. But yeah, that's the whole story about the Cuttlefish of Cthulhu. There's another one that I think that they fashioned later on, because I remember seeing it like at other shows when I saw GWOR. But I guess it was just another cut of it.
This did kind of mess with their career, like it stilted them a little bit because they were set to play MTV's Spring Break that was happening at Myrtle Beach the next year, but they were banned, so they couldn't do it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No, I'm lying. Oh. Imagine being on like Spring Break, hot weather on the beach, in all of that makeup and prosthetic work, just sweating your ass off, saying, yeah, we're GWOR. I guess feed us beer. They're not even there to play. They're just there to like...
To party.
Yeah, to like schmooze and like make sure people are happy.
They're surfing.
That too.
I have a question.
What's up?
Was it also called the case? Was it state versus penis?
I'm not sure, honestly. James, do you have the answer to that?
I do not have that. I believe it's boner versus dick.
Yeah.
Fantastic question.
Oh, so my thing, if we did like what we do on Formulaic or Height of Horror, this existed where like little Corey will say, I'm Corey, and then I will say, I'm something from the movie. I had two alts from this, which was, and I'm an airship literally fueled by crack cocaine, or, and I'm now a supporter of the AMPTP. Those would have been my alts.
Not bad. Yeah, this is, I think this movie is the first time I remember hearing them say the word Bohabs. That's why I called y'all Bohabs at the beginning. That's what gore fans are known as. Like, you know, what are Insane Clown Posse, Hatchet Men, what are they called?
Juggalos.
Juggalos. Yeah, so gore guys are called Bohabs. Same thing. It's probably the same people, actually. Just different makeup.
Hey, fans, you can call yourself whatever. Just don't call us late for dinner. Nicole.
Wow.
I want our fans to feed us.
Meow.
What?
Because I'm a little cat. Feed me.
I wrote a quote. I wrote down a quote from this.
All right.
It's the...
It's poetry, I bet.
Yeah. Maybe.
Very philosophical.
In the courtroom and the old lady is yelling or something. This cuttlefish is actually a penis. Fish do not receive an erection when shown pornography.
Is that your first note, Nicole?
No.
Okay, I was going to be like, that is so far in.
My first note is, shirt says, kill, fuck, skateboard.
Oh, hell yeah. Do you line up with those ideologies? Steve?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Kill, fuck, skateboard?
Uh-huh.
The skateboard part, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The kill part, no. The fuck part, yes.
Hell yeah,
so yeah,
dude.
Like two-thirds.
What if it's like, yo, man, I just killed it on this recording of
I
Sweet Child
it on
of
the,
Time.
On the NAR.
Oh, yeah, that too?
I respect that. I won't say it, but I respect it. I'll nod my head and say, oh, that's cute.
You're like, oh, man, I just killed it at Applebee's wearing JNCO jeans.
I have been there, James.
I know. That's why I'm referencing it.
Good, great.
I know you, Steve.
I feel like I know you two way more than y'all know me. So because I listen to y'all like for hours every week. So I don't remember ever telling you anything about Applebee's or JNCO jeans.
Yeah, dude, you talk about Applebee's a lot. It's where you met your wife.
It's where I met my wife, and we're eating good in the neighborhood. That's right.
Uh-huh. Speaking of your family, I really wanted to just be like, hey, go get your daughter. We just need her to guest on this. I just need to say, does he show you this? Is this what he's like? Give me the tea on him as a dad.
For me and Heather's, it was our 18th anniversary. We took the kids to Gore Bar, Caleb and Charlotte. Yeah, of course.
Okay. So,
I didn't show them this movie, but we were surrounded by, you know, fake gross stuff and boobs and the whole thing. Yes. Gore Bar is great. If you guys came to Richmond, that's one place you definitely got to check out.
That's what Melzer and company say as well.
Okay.
Because they're from the area. Do you think their follow-up movie, the like Deadhead Skull Man, is that better than this one?
I'm not aware of Deadhead Skull Man, so I can't say.
It's the follow-up movie. What's their next movie? Gwar.
I had Live from Antarctica, Phallus in Wonderland. Those are the only two gore movies I owned and watched. I don't know of any others. I'm sorry.
Oh, dang. Okay, well, you guys talk. I need to find the name of this Deadhead Skull Man.
All right, Nicole. Let's talk gore.
So much pressure. Okay.
One of the first times I saw gore, it was like 88, I think. I went with my friends Jimmy and Gabe, and Ween opened up for gore, but this was before we knew who Ween was. So we're completely unaware. There was just two guys on stage. One was in like his tidy whities. The other was dressed as Robin Hood, and they had like the gore backdrop. So there was all like the dead bodies and the blood and everything.
Okay.
And they were obviously on drugs. Okay. They had a four-track tape on a chair next to them. They would hit the four-track, and then they would like play along with it. And if it's, I don't remember if it's Dean Ween or Gene Ween, the singer the one who was in his tidy whities would just dip his hands into like the buckets of blood behind him and like rub them on his body while he was singing. Yeah. We had no idea who these guys were, but we fell in love with them. It was a great thing to behold.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
I got to start doing quirky stuff when I'm on stage.
You do.
Tidy whities and blood. Oh, that's kind of like Gigi Allen-ish. I hate to say it, but yeah, it kind of is.
You want
to
know what? We'll be performing at Fan Expo. So Chuck, be weary. I will be coming in underwear and blood. But I could say I'm cosplaying, Nicole. Who could I be? I guess Gigi Allen? Who else?
Dean Ween.
But who's like a no? I'll just say like, it's from an episode of One Piece, you know, episode 630. And he'd be like, I just got to take your word for that, James.
Are you performing music live? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a podcast.
This is kind of like a live podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what this is. Uh-huh. It's just like this.
Exactly.
Except
like
you have
this.
To go somewhere for it.
So this, I said the name of it was something like Deadhead Skull Man.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is called, this is their second movie, it's called Skullhead Face.
Okay.
Pretty close.
That reminds me more of Death Clock, because they have that guy Skull Face Skull Bones. What's his name?
I don't know.
From Death Clock that does all the jibber jabber in at the beginning.
I think Brandon Small is overrated. No, he's highly underrated.
He's underrated. Yeah. He's highly underrated, in my opinion.
There was an episode of Comedy Bang Bang. I'm sure you have listened to this episode. He was promoting his solo album in between, like, hey, what's Death Clock going to do? So it was him, Cameron Esposito, and Scott Aukerman. And he shows them this song. And then Cameron's like, hey, can we pause it? That's you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, they go, why do you do comedy? And he's like, I had to do comedy because I would be the only one who would hire me to do music. Because he's just like shredding.
He is.
And Cameron's like, wait, this is you? What?
He is just as good as any of the other shredders that you see, Joe Bonamassa, or I always compare him to Devin Townsend. They have a very similar style, and they're, you know, comrades in guitar. And yeah, he just remains in comedy. And hey, new Death Clock movie is coming out. Have y'all heard about this?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Army of the Death Star. So I'm very pumped about it too.
Finally getting that ending we've been waiting for.
For years. I'm glad they gave it to him. I mean, he seemed like he gave up on the whole concept for a while. Like he was like, well, it's gone now. So
no, he was holding out. He's like, I will do this if you give me money to do a movie. Like that's how I will end this show. And he just waited out until Max was like, hey, we'll give some Adult Swim stuff some money.
Okay, so it's Max. I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, because it was with the Aqua Teen movie, I think maybe Adventure Bros, and Metalocalypse.
Yep, I'm glad they're coming back. Me and Heather got to see the Metalocalypse tour with Mastodon, and that was some good stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Speaking, I'm just talking about shows I've been to. This is really fun.
Best show I ever went to, Hunks and His Punks.
Never heard either. I've heard you talk about them, but I don't know anything about beyond that James knows this band.
Nicole, best show you ever been to?
I haven't been to a lot. I've been to like a handful.
Well, that should be easy to narrow it down then.
That time I got flashed at Yardapalooza.
Oh, yeah, your own show. Yeah. Yes. The best show where I was very drunk.
Yeah, and that's why it was so
you
fun.
You flashed, James?
No, that's the thing in my head because I didn't have my glasses on, so I don't know. All I saw was like this like, it looked like something that wasn't a white blob and then a white blob. And then I'm like, what was that? And then afterwards, they're like, dude, did you see the person who flashed you? I was like, someone flashed me. I was like, wait, was that Nicole? Her brother was right next to her.
And from my perspective, I'm dancing. And then I just hear a bunch of women go, woo. And I turn and I go, woo! And I just keep dancing. Like, I didn't even know what happened because I was just so, like, yeah.
You contributed.
That should have been like, James, you should perform live every single day. And no. It's one of those things where it's like, whoa, I finally made it. I am likable. And then just an immediate crash the next time of people just saying, we're indifferent, not a fuck you. I'd appreciate a fuck you. But like people just being on their phones, being indifferent, that's the thing that's worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of Richmond shows. People staring at you while you're playing. And you get used to it after a while. And it doesn't mean that they don't like you. It just means that they're standing there staring at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening to what you're doing. That's why bands like Gwar are fun for us, because, you know, a lot of stuff is happening.
Yeah.
For the most part, like during a metal show, I don't go to thrash metal shows or stuff. Just, you know, stoner metal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just stand there and groove. It's not like you're, it's not a transfer of energy. So you got to be used to just people staring at you. They're doing it right now.
I was going to bring up when you brought up Richmond, like, hey, Gwar kind of set the bar. So everyone's like, hey, we should be in costumes or be like, have a lot of showmanship. That's the same okay. for Michigan because of Detroit. Like Motown started. Sorry, Butter's screaming in the background.
I can hear it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you guys can. Usually people can't. Because of Motown being very showy and being theatrical, and then Alice Cooper coming and also setting that precedent even higher. That's just that, like, Insane Clown Posse is like, yes, that's what we're going to do. That's why Kiss was so popular there. Detroit Rock City, baby.
Yeah, I guess with Gwar, like, we didn't get a lot of costume bands coming up after them, but a lot of metal bands associated with Gwar that, you know, opened up for Gwar. Gwar, nothing. It's the kitty cat.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Sorry, listeners. Wait, is Sock still here?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can see them both. This is what I want every time we podcast, James. This is exactly what I want.
And now we hear Hooper in the background.
Yeah, he's being obnoxious tonight.
That's his name, right?
Hopper.
Okay. No, well, hey, I have a slight dialect. I say Hooper.
You say what you want, James. I know. Wheel of Time season 2, I think you're going to meet Hopper. I think you're going to meet the Wheel of Time Hopper. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. So I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
Hoopa.
Are you going to watch Wheel of Time, Nicole?
Probably not. I did watch 18, what is
99.
It?
99?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did watch that.
You watched it, meaning that you liked it and you enjoyed it, right?
I did. I just didn't like the ending.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't satisfying.
Yeah, I wanted it to be more depressing and it wasn't.
Yeah, I wanted more than that, too. I thought the big blow up at the end, the big explosion thing didn't. I don't know. I'm not sure where they were going with that. I was willing to go along with the ride. I really wanted to. And then they pulled the plug on us.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping it was going to be something like, oh, she had a mental break and her son and husband are there desperately, like trying to help her get better or something right. like that. But it was like, no, they're in space. And I was like, okay.
Oh, well, I actually like that angle of it. As a matter of fact, I meant like what I didn't like was the ending they had on the boat where like the four of them like held hands and watched as like an explosion happened and they all died on the boat. I thought that was kind of made me shrug my shoulders and raise my eyebrow. I like the space ending. Maybe it was because this happens to me. Like if a show does a song in the right way with the right action and the right tone, I will just fall in love with it. So like David Bowie's music going along with that, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess I love this. There's no other way about it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
I didn't like it when they start. Everyone was all worried if the printing presses would be able to switch over from the 1800s to the 1900s effectively.
Right. Yeah. They were afraid like their books would all, you know, have a weird font to them from now mm-hmm. on.
They thought that it was going to be a crash, you know?
They couldn't write their checks properly.
Yep.
Yeah. People would stop going to the library.
Y219 is what they were calling it. Or shoot, Y19K, dang it. That's on me, guys.
We knew what you were talking about.
Well, just in case others didn't. All right, let's get back to this movie. Let's crunch through some notes. If Gwar smokes it, it must be healthy. And we're talking about a crack in the egg. No, a crack in my pipe.
I like this one a lot. They still play the song live, and this is where he gets his son. He inseminates the egg and with his semen, and so now Odorous has a little boy named Gorgor. And he lives. He still shows up at gore shows to this day.
Is it played by a child or a man playing a child?
No, I'm talking about the little dinosaur, Gorgor.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh,
the
okay.
The kaiju.
Oh, the kaiju is his son?
Yes.
I missed that wrinkle.
Oh, he just said it one time. My son!
All right.
That's all you knew.
Man, if I could semen on an egg and then a little whatever it is comes out and I say it's mine, I'm going to start doing that to the eggs in our fridge. I'm going to say, Nicole, these are all mine. A son will appear. And it's just a chicken coming out, and it has. It's just a chicken who's constantly aroused.
This era of gore, I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to ignore that, James. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
This song of gore, I should say. They were really big on crack jokes, and mm-hmm. I never thought crack jokes were hilarious. Their audience did. They still make crack jokes to this day. And we had a real crack problem in Richmond at this exact same time this was going on. And this was kind of like their way of like addressing it in like mm-hmm. their weird little gore way. But really they actually, were concerned. They're very, I don't want to put any words in their mouths, but I respect their politics and I respect them as people and what the people who play gore stand for. So even though they're making all these like lame crack jokes and it seems all really stupid, I guess it's a butt of a dumb joke for a bunch of dumb guys, but it was a real problem. And I think it's just strange that they still cling on to this crack joke and this whole crack theme, mm-hmm. even though like the whole crack joke thing is like of the past now. Yeah. Now we joke about meth. That's what we joke about.
Yeah.
But they've stayed true to the crack in the egg and the crack in my pipe.
I mean, we do. You really don't hear a lot of heroin jokes because it is such a problem, but it's like, even they would be like, we can't joke about heroin, guys. That's in poor taste.
I think it's just because crack and meth are associated with poor people because the drug is really cheap. And it's mostly not drugs. It's mostly like baking soda or like additives, mm-hmm. mostly dangerous additives. I don't know. Soapbox time. I don't like crack. I don't like crack jokes, but I like gore.
My favorite kind of crack is when a plumber bends over.
I'm a water man myself.
My favorite kind of crack is a crack in time and space. So then I can time travel.
Yeah, I love it. That's my favorite crack as well. Nicole, okay. What's your favorite crack?
I remember, so this is not my favorite kind, but it's related. It's an anecdote. I remember a former art teacher of mine making a joke about like making pottery and saying that crack kills because like you don't want a crack in your
that's good. That's a dad joke
to children.
Nah, kids know what crack is. No. You've done Dare before. My favorite kind of crack is Cracked Tiles by Zug Island, released by Psychopathic Whoa. Records, produced by Violent J of Insane Clown Posse.
What about Cracked? Is it a comedy magazine?
Yeah.
The magazine, yeah. There you go.
Thought I had one
I think it's a comedy channel, too.
It is. Mm. It's the place we watched Rats on.
That fucking movie, yeah.
It's rips, guys. Watch Rats. It's currently on.
It's probably better than this movie.
Oh, absolutely. We should have watched Rats instead. Like, they're rats who turn into big people, and two rats, people are kaiju.
Yep. I don't think I had any more notes about cracking the egg. I think my note is like the best line deliveries are coming from Odorous Urungus. He's really the best on camera.
My next note is they're in the jury room and we see a flashback to what's this big man's name?
Corporal Punishment.
Corporal Punishment. He explains how they got the cuttlefish, which... He sawed his dick off without provocation. He just sees this man. He's like, huh, I got to get that dick. And then just saws it off. Pushes him on the ground. Like, imagine being bullied so hard that it ends with someone ripping your penis off.
And then what the song playing said 12-gauge truck, 6-pack. It just basically said a bunch of terms like that during mm-hmm. the song in the background, which I liked a lot. It was an early gore song.
Man. Nicole, you ever been bullied this hard?
No.
Never this hard.
No, that's a bit extreme, okay. I would say.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how the band became extreme, through this extreme bullying situation, I bet.
Yeah, extreme.
I've been bullied, but never this hard. It was just like, hey, I'm going to have to take this. You want to know what? They're not wrong. I did kiss a boy.
Just own it.
No.
Oh.
They made me feel ashamed of that.
Yeah, and I'm saying don't.
Well, it's a little too late, too sorry. I can't, if I could go back in time, I'd say, hey, man, kiss another boy. When one of those boys makes fun of you, kiss them. Yeah, tongue included. Grab them by the man pussy.
Don't do that.
That's how the stars do it.
Yeah. Well, so even if I were to go up and kiss them, that is also, I guess they're assaulting me verbally. I should be able to come back physically. Yeah, it cancel that out. That's how bullying works, at least in my time. They hit you, you hit them back 10 times harder.
I thought you were going to say town.
No, I mean, yeah, still in our town.
In my town.
Hey, back in my town. Bullying is an equal net sum, okay? You do a little bullying, you get a little bullied, okay? Mm-hmm. So if someone starts bullying you, you piss on an anthill, then get shrunk down. And then you bully an exterminator into being a deformed man.
And then you're going to bully the deformed man? That doesn't seem right.
Well, you've bullied him because he was bullying you by trying to force you to sign papers that your father's, in quotes, should have signed. This is the ant bully now.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah, everyone's seen ant bully.
You've seen the box office receipts. Everyone's seen the ant bully.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's required viewing.
It's a little Hollywood hidden secret. Avatar, Endgame, no. Ant bully. That's the top of the box office.
Tom Hanks's ant bully.
Mm-hmm. He saw how shitty his son was and was like, God, I gotta make something to get through to this kid. And he only likes the ant bully, but he only reads the first few pages and then he puts it down.
Do you think it was when his son was an adult or a child?
I mean, if it was Chet, like, he was getting up there in age at that point. He was probably like 14, 15 reading it. Yeah.
Here's a cool book for you.
Yeah, there you go. Your other brother's in Orange County. Now we got to just toss this over to you.
Yeah.
He took the wrong lessons from that movie, I think, or that book.
Yeah.
Took the wrong things away.
Maybe he only read the first part where the kid's shit.
That's what I said. He puts it down Cent watches mafia movies.
But you didn't say, like, you just said the first half. You didn't say, like, only the parts where the kid is shitty.
Yeah, that's the first half.
Yeah.
It's not until, like, in the movie at least, the last 20 minutes.
Anyway, I like that they put in the, I'd buy that for a dollar from RoboCop. That was a cute reference.
I didn't catch that reference.
Because it was just like on the TV in the background while that dude murdered his mom with a skateboard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm friends with the guy who, used to be friends with the guy before he passed away, the blonde-haired guy who encourages the other guy to kill his mom with a skateboard. That's Larry Glover. He went to school with me and was part of my friend group, played drums for a bunch of punk bands, and obviously a friend of Gore. He got a speaking role in the movie and everything.
Hell yeah.
Damn, were you trying to vie for that speaking role or just any role?
No, I didn't know any of the guys at all. I was not cool with the crew at that time, so I wasn't trying to get in there.
Now, you're stoned out of your mind as an extra in Skullhead Face, and that's why you don't remember the movie, right?
That's right.
Okay.
I was just talking earlier today about how when I shared the screen with Will Poulter during Dope Sick, that's what I thought you were going to bring up when I was sitting in the bleachers about like 50 feet away from him with hundreds of other extras. So we had a really good time that day on the set.
Is this a Guar thing?
No, this is a Dope Sick thing. Being an extra on Dope Sick.
I don't know what that is.
That was a show that was on Hulu a couple years ago starring... The original Batman, Michael Keaton, that's him. Rosario Dawson, Will Poulter, my buddy, Will Poulter. About the drug industry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was an extra on it, and we talked about it a whole bunch. You remember the JNCO jeans and the Applebee's, but you don't remember when I was an extra on a show.
Because he can save that and use it later in a joke.
I mean, right. I could use you being an extra. I do it to Sean all the time. Yes, that's his job, but...
Right. It was a great job when I had it. That was the best job to have, but I was not an extra in Gwar's movie. I don't think they got paid anything whatsoever to be extras. They probably begged for the roles, probably.
Yeah, you guys still go beg. Say, hey, guys, I got some crack.
I would have loved it, yeah.
Say, I know your ship's fueled off from it.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the kill mom scene in Larry. I think the next scene, did y'all recognize Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers?
Yeah, we recognized and we started cheering when we saw Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers, Steve.
Because I know what just any musician looks like, period.
And more specifically, Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers, Steve.
If I was talking to Howard Kramer right now, I'd be like, hell yes, I recognize Gibby Haynes. Everybody knows who that is. I guess you have to be 50 years old, I suppose, to recognize him on sight. But he was a sleazy director with the long hair and beard trying to coerce the children. Y'all have heard of the Butthole Surfers, correct?
They were played on Two Charted recently, right?
I'm not sure. I remember them. They were most famous for being like a joke on The Simpsons when Ned Flanders' kids had to go. They got poor and they had to get shirts from the Goodwill. One of them pulled out a Butthole Surfer shirt and was like, look, Daddy, I'm a surfer.
No, we don't know Gibby Haynes.
Well, that's a big deal. He's a pretty huge dude in the punk scene at this time. So getting him in this movie and getting that role was a, you know, it was a mind blower for us. It's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody that you really admire. And like if they showed up and agreed to, you know, produce your podcast for you, it's like that kind of level of, I don't know.
I guess like if I'm really thinking of who I would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're here. It'd have to be Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers. But he rose to prominence with Daddy's Money, didn't he?
No. What?
He's part of the Haynes fortune.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. Gibby Haynes. I was going to say that has to be a stage name, but no, like that's so stupid. No one could come up with that besides a parent who's like, let's name him Gibby. Yeah, let's just call him Gibby Gibson. All right. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. What's his last name? Oh, yeah. Haynes.
Haynes. Go for it.
Gibson Haynes sounds fancy, but Gibby Haynes does not.
R.I.P. to the Butthole Surfer drummer. She just passed away about a week ago, so got to bring that up.
Wait, Gibby?
No, not the Gibby, drummer. The drummer.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what her name is, I'm sorry to say, but she's the woman that, you are familiar with the movie Slacker by Richard Linklater?
I'm familiar, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
She's on the cover of the movie. She's like the weird girl with the hat and the glasses on the cover of that movie.
Okay.
But yeah, she was a drummer for Butthole Surfers. Not with us anymore.
Is that American Pie Man?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
What one is he in then? Jason Biggs?
What do you mean, what one is he in?
He's in like another like slacker type comedy.
He was in Waiting, I remember. He was at a restaurant like Applebee's. I don't think
it's
the same
one.
Oh,
no. That's no. He's not in there. That's Justin Long.
Yeah, that's who you said, right?
No, Jason Biggs from American Pie.
Yep.
Okay, moving
totally two different
on.
People, totally. We saw Gwar in sunglasses. That's fun.
Is that the jazz number?
Yes.
That song rips.
It really did. Yep, I like that a lot. And did you see the girl? She really resembled Betsy Sodaro, who was eating the cereal.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote down as a note, Betsy Sodaro's eating cereal. Oh, somebody jizzes in Betsy Sodaro's cereal.
Okay, it's not Betsy Sodaro, guys. Betsy Sodaro at this time would have been a child.
They pulled a prize out of the cereal box, a crack pipe. Very appropriate. Oh, in this song, too, he declares that he's gay and he's proud. So yeah. I like that.
It's good times. At this time, yeah. I wrote down, this is like a bad trauma movie. However, it has great art direction. Something no trauma movie has ever had.
Gore and trauma would be a good combo, I think.
Yes, just like ICP and trauma should have been a great combo, but why didn't they ever do that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Was like Violent J a dick to them or something?
No, it just seems like they're like, we're going to do this ourselves. And it's like, well, if you went over to like just one other person who is also doing it for themselves, like sisters, they would have been a match made in heaven.
Probably.
Match made in Shangri-La. I'm sorry.
I like this this character that has the super strength of two men.
That's my next note.
Yes. He shows up on stage at a lot of concerts and like they have two guys playing him, obviously. They split him in half and it's good fun.
Would love to split you in half.
Me? Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Who else would I be talking to?
Me?
Nicole?
The other person that's in the same room.
I don't want to split you in half.
In the same room as you.
Nicole, that would be murder to you.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about like Terrifier 1 style. I'm going to saw Steve in half.
Yeah.
On certain days, I might be okay with that. Today, no. I don't want you to do that.
But it will be with a special blade, so when I cut you in half, you become two Steves.
I like that.
There you go.
The strength of two Steves. My next note, James, is Gore. This might be why they got the Grammy, or why they got nominated for the Grammy. The Road Behind, Gore actually wrote a ballad for this movie, a metal ballad, and it was beautiful, complete with whistling. And what are some of the lyrics? It's like about the trials of the road, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, do y'all remember this song, mm-hmm. The Road Behind?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest that I didn't understand anything they were saying.
Oh, yeah.
And there was not an option for subtitles. So, like, you saying, like, oh, yeah, he said this and this. And I'm just like, okay, sure.
I wish I knew we could have purchased this on VOD. It wasn't until way after the fact and that I know, like, it actually looks good. I'm upset we couldn't have experienced this in full force.
Yeah, I watched it on really crappy YouTube as well, and it was really bad. But some of the lyrics here, Nicole, is, see, he's crying. He says, sleazy, I can't do the show. I'm just a sensitive guy, a little bloody teardrop running down my dirty eye. Yeah, these are the kind of trials that, that Odorous goes under.
Yeah, like, the only thing I have regarding, like, the music is just that his vocal range is really good.
Yeah.
Like he has a beautiful voice.
A beautiful mind.
A beautiful voice, not good articulation. My last note is, besides fast forward to the kaiju stuff, that was nice.
Right,
last note was, Nicole, what if Pop Evil did something like this of just like a long form music video, like an hour long, just showing off the sights of Muskegon?
It would be bad.
No, it would be cool. They'd be at Somerset. It's like, whoa, guys, we need to get the band in proper shape to play Summer Celebration. Oh, what will be the obstacles they fight? Oh, Mr. Scrib is trying to heat us with greasy pizza. No, get out of here, Mr. Pib. It may be greasy, but boy, oh boy, does it taste good. It's good in the mouth, not on the face. And then all of a sudden, they're like, Mr. Quick, he's too quick for us. Shit. I don't know anything about Muskegon besides the two fast food places we have.
That's all you know about your hometown.
What's a Muskegon thing?
The causeway.
Oh, the cause. Oh, the like, let's practice by playing at the causeway, but it's flooded. What can we do? And then like one of them in the band's like, I'm always real thirsty. Like it's set up that he's like, oh, I'm dehydrated. I'm dehydrated. Then he just puts a straw down and just goes, and then sucks up the water so they can perform. They're like, oh man, we got to perform on top of the blockhouse. Oh, that's the thing. They're just performing
sand
at
dunes.
Yeah, they'll perform there. And then they're like, the insurance won't let us play there unless we get the longest flagpole we can so drivers will know we're around.
Yeah.
And there was one other one that was like, oh, that's actually like a place in Muskegon. Yeah, lost it.
Mullally Park?
Is that the place where all the kids went to fight?
To fight?
That's a place.
No, that's probably Riverside. That it's like right across from the high school.
Okay, yeah. That's Riverside. Where's Mullally Park at?
I've never been there as an adult, so I have no idea.
Isn't that one by the middle school? I think that's where all the middle school fights happened. That's more towards that side, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Mullally Park. I remember people saying Mullally Park's where the fight's going down. And then Riverside.
That's how the song goes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. All the places people are getting
and they're
beat
like
down.
Inside the like ring where the fight is happening.
Oh, that would
like,
be nice.
As they're playing their music.
Mm-hmm. And the fight is actually a mosh pit because that's the type of music Pop Evil does.
Yeah.
They don't.
Going 155 and I don't know. Like, yeah.
Oh, we're going to punch and kick each other. And then they play a show for Lang's because that's the entire mall now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason the mall's open.
Uh-huh. Also, all the people who want to go shop at Lang's. I wish I knew
that's
anything
implied.
Else about Muskegon.
That's a lot of
same.
Things.
Oh, same.
I would jump in and talk about the Taco Bell on the corner if that was such a thing.
There is a Taco Bell on a corner. There has to be.
See? That's the place for all the elementary school kids would fight.
Yeah. Well, you guys got any more notes?
Yeah.
Of course Steve does.
Of course. I got like a notebook here. Come on.
Let's do like 10 more minutes of notes, Steve.
I'll just basically have one more before we get to the Kaiju stuff. Is I like how their songs are generally structured like a three-act play. It's like first you have like the basic gist, the introduction, and then like you have like some kind of twist or some kind of, you know, confrontation. And then they at the third act, there always something weird happens, like in the cracking the egg, for example. The song's about crack, and then the song's about this egg, and then he jizzes on the egg, and then the third act, the egg becomes a baby, and he's the father. So all their songs kind of follow that structure where there's like a three-act thing that happens. So I like that. They're really rooted in comedy.
It's crazy that at Reese Puffer Middle School, they showed this video during sex ed to teach us how it works.
Yeah.
The kids are on board. Kids love it. Mm-hmm. Kids love gore.
My mom, she signed a permission slip. She was like, A-okay.
Did she know? I guess like when she was in school, they would have been showing this as well.
Oh, even when she was in school?
Yeah. She was in school in like 95.
Mm, maybe. What?
Oh, wait, no, you were, like, born, never mind. I guess I think your mom is much younger than she appears. All right. You were in school in... No, wait, you had a child at 95, too.
94, correct. No. Yeah, 94, that's right.
Wait, whoa, same age as Nicole.
96, sorry, 96.
Dang it.
I got that wrong. Dang
that's
it,
my
Caleb.
Brother. That's my brother.
I hope your son is not listening.
It's possible he could be. He asked me to ask you something, as
yeah,
a matter of fact. Here we go. You started playing Final Fantasy recently.
Yes.
You're playing Final Fantasy V
yes.
on your stream. Have you been playing the new Final Fantasy yet?
No, we don't have anything that would play it.
Well, there goes that question then. He's been playing it, and he wanted to know how many icons you've gotten through, and he wanted to know, you know, some very specific questions, and they're all moot now.
Tell him get on that Patreon, and maybe I'll be able to get one someday.
Yep. But yeah, we were laughing that you were, because I was like, yeah, James is playing Final Fantasy. And this is, I was just came from a family gathering. We were all just hanging out together before this. And I looked on your stream to see which Final Fantasy you were playing. And I was like, oh, he's playing Final Fantasy V. That was a big laughing point, James. You got a big laugh in the room for playing Final Fantasy V.
Wow, roasted.
It's a good game, guys. It introduced like the real good job mechanics. Like it improved on, I think, the Final Fantasy III job mechanics. It feels a lot like, oh, if you just grind, you can break the game very easily with these mechanics, just like Final Fantasy VIII. But I think Final Fantasy VIII is a more simplified way of like, okay, all you have to do is like get like these three things and then you can just wreck house the entire game.
I started Final Fantasy VIII I didn't get anywhere near close to even beginning it. I think Caleb took that one over. Final Fantasy III was the last one that, like, you can laugh at me now. That was the last one that I actually, like, played through and conquered. And it was a lot of...
Oh, even Gibby Haynes got to 4.
That's right.
What an absolute noob.
But yeah, it was a lot of grind. It was a lot of battling little small creatures to gain like a half a point of, you know, XP. And then it was a lot of that. I remember like going in the woods and picking fights with very like crappy little small creatures that I would just, you know, had to battle that a whole lot to gain up experience points to go, you know, face the real guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
If you watched when I played Final Fantasy VIII with Lil Corey on stream, I was explaining to him how to break the game. So our first maybe 8 hours of gameplay, we just went to one specific beach, walked around until a battle happened. And I was like, just keep doing this and you will become at level 15. You can be like as strong as base 100 level. And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, it's one of the best games ever. And the story's fantastic.
Yeah. It takes forever to do that, but I remember just doing that for hours and hours and hours until I was finally at that level.
With the updated versions, the battle, you can go 3x speed.
Okay.
But it doesn't affect the music. Like, the music and sound effects are still the same. So hell it yeah. Still feels like you're not discombobulated with, like...
like the Mario music speeds up and gets you all freaked out when that happens.
It's unnerving.
Yeah.
But yeah, last... I'm sorry I couldn't think of any Muskegon things, guys.
I'm disappointed.
Oh, man. That driveway I kissed Nicole for the first time, their Pop Evil's there doing a ballad about it.
Aw. We should ask ChatGP to tell us everything it can about Muskegon.
I would if I could.
He doesn't talk to you.
It just goes, you play it so that it says the thing out loud, and it just goes, watch Muskegon kill dogs.
Hell yeah. It says, quite frankly, I've... experienced all I could of humanity now. Goodbye. I apologize, but this isn't worth it. Bye. And then it just crashes the site.
It crashes the entire internet.
No. How? ChatGPT's got his little paws and everything?
Yeah.
Just like a cat trying to munch on some mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Cats love mayonnaise. I know two that do.
Cats love butter. It's true.
They do.
And butter loves butter. Technically, butter loves margarine.
Mm. Okay. That's what I eat as well. Yep.
I once walked in and Sox was just body deep in a tub of margarine that I like needed to rinse out like it was done. I was like, dude. So then I had to bathe. Like I had to like wipe him down because he was all greasy.
It was really cute.
But speaking of Q, we got a little kaiju now.
That's right. Oh, before we get to that, I want to say my very favorite line read from this movie is when the morality squad comes and one of them says something insulting to Odorous. We're cursing, right? We can curse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Odorous's line, his response to this insult is, oh, yeah? Well, fuck you. And I thought that was like the best line of the whole movie. And it's a great insult. A great comeback.
I'm the comeback kid.
I've noticed. About every month, you got a new hit song.
They're not. None of them are hits.
To me, they are.
They're future
hits.
Oh,
did you get my note about the Dudge? Can you please put some Dudge in that song?
Wait, which one?
The most recent Anal Dentata mix you sent me.
Oh, okay.
It's like so close to like having like a... It's like you almost do it a couple of times.
Oh, no. So there is an effect in there that is technically that noise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just there to be a bed of music. It's technically a bass effect. Guys, we don't need to talk about this.
It needs to be louder.
Okay.
It needs to be a dudge.
I'll put it in like one little section where it like drops out and it goes.
Yes.
And then Gatling guns start going off and Pop Evil singing. What if I get Pop Evil to do an Anal Dentata remix?
Mm. I know you can get Intro Void to do one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Intro Void's already signed up.
Cool, good. Like that guy. Like how they became Kaiju. Did y'all notice how they got big and became Kaiju?
Wait, do you really like Intro Void? Because sometimes it seems like you kind of hate that dude.
I mean, I did block him on Instagram. I did. Yeah.
All right, but this Kaiju.
They blew on their thumbs, and that's how they became big. Did y'all notice that?
No. That's a good way. Yep.
That's the only way, I think, to become huge. That's exactly how they did it.
This does make me think we should find all the music videos that are just Kaiju fights. We know of this one. We know of Intergalactic. And maybe we should just do an episode on that.
No.
Okay, all right.
Straight up. Nope. Denied.
But I really like the set work in here. The lighting that is given off by the, it's a bunch of small buildings, but there's like the lights are coming through the windows of these small buildings. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it really does. I like it too.
Like something that's on Gridman or Super Strength Samurai Squadron, whatever that thing's called. That it looks a lot like that setup.
Yeah, I remember like, okay, so like they were having their battle and the newscaster was like beside himself and like freaking out. You know, I remember like the newscaster like shot himself like on the news, right?
Like on Faces of Death.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that's like a mirror of something that actually happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of tasteless, but they threw it in there and another slice of reality, I suppose.
That has become, amongst like gore hounds, a sort of joke. I think it's actually Traces of Death, not Faces of Death, that's shown on. But it is of some politician going through legal troubles and he just straight up kills himself with a gun at a press meeting.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And someone screams, oh, someone call an ambulance. And it's like, dude, no.
Well, it's based on something that actually happened, Nicole. Like a senator did that, and I knew about that from that Filter song, Hey Man, Nice Shot, because that's what the song is about. It's about the guy, you know, going on television and killing himself. It was during the Saturday morning cartoons. It was like they interrupted the Saturday morning cartoons for a news conference, and that's when the guy chose to shoot himself on air.
Oh my God.
Parodied by all these. Yeah, it's pretty gross. That's why I didn't quite love that they included that in there. But, you know, gore being gore, they have to, you know, poke fun at everything.
Yeah.
It's R. Bud Dwyer, I believe, is the man's name. He was an American politician, the Republican member of Pennsylvania House of Representatives. Then from 71 to 81 was part of the Pennsylvania State Senate. And then killed himself during a live press conference.
Yep.
For why, I don't know yet. Conspiracy, mail fraud, perjury, and interstate transportation in aid of racketeering, and was scheduled for sentencing later. So yeah, it looks like it was just a bunch of white-collar crimes that he should not have been doing.
Not worth all that, though. Not worth traumatizing a nation with your actions. This video, I'm going to go back to Happier, this gore video where it's Kaiju. This got regular rotation on MTV. And not only that, I believe it was either this video or The Road Behind got featured on Beavis and Butthead. And Beavis and Butthead, of course, laughed at it and made fun of it. And that was probably like one of their biggest exposures. Because, you know, a lot of kids watch Beavis and Butthead. And so, you know, and I remember like not just Beavis and Butthead watching that particular video, but they would talk about gore like during episodes, like, you know, just offhandedly they would bring up gore. My sister earlier was asking me what exactly we were doing with this. My sister's seen gore too. I took her to a gore show when we were kids. And she was like, James and Nicole know who gore is? And I was like, yeah, they're popular. And she was like, she was not aware that they were popular outside of Richmond. She thought they were just our little darling band here. And that they, you know, I was like, Vicky, sorry, they're everywhere.
Well, like
other countries, they're huge in other countries, more huge there than they are here.
And on the subject of Beavis and Butthead, one of the video games, the crux of the entire game is you are trying to get to a Gwar concert.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I'd forgotten all about that.
And I mean, in my world, I mean, in comic book terms, it is, I guess, recent. Mm-hmm. Came out with the Orgasmic Eden.
Yeah. And the illustrator of the King Kaiser X cover did colors in one of the mini stories in the first Gwar issue, to the point I was looking, I was like, wow, right. It looks like they jacked his style. And then I was like, wait, no shit. John Clark Bailey Jr. did the coloring on this.
Damn. So you're like a Gwar associate as well then.
Kind of.
2 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Right on.
Hell yeah.
Silence.
And there you go. There's Gwar's Phallus in Wonderland. Sorry, we barely talked about the movie.
It's unclear who won the big kaiju battle. You can't really tell who won this battle because they were just rolling around a lot and hitting a lot of stuff. But we do know that the cuttlefish of Cthulhu lives at the end. So rest assured, the cuttlefish is okay. And that's all we need to know.
He's a cutie.
He is. He's a scamp. He giggles and gets boners.
Yeah, I like him.
Would you rather kiss that cuttlefish or an exhaust pipe?
Nicole?
I'd kiss that cuttlefish.
All right.
I would too. Exhaust pipes are disgusting.
Yeah,
cuttlefish
same.
Is disgusting, but cuttlefish is more disgusting in an organic kind of way.
Yeah.
So I'm going for the cuttlefish too.
Where like, it's not going to kill you. It's not poison. It's just possibly semen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah.
But probably not. Like, it's not really a penis.
That's not its intentional design, but it became such, and it acted as such. I think it identified as a penis, James. Be respectful.
Okay. But all of it, like, does its genetic makeup, like, let's say it's oozing out, like, literal mayonnaise, but then it's like, oh, I'm going to change and it's going to be semen?
Does it have that choice? Is it able? I mean.
No, that's what you're saying.
Am I?
Yeah, that's how I took what you're saying. It's like, hey, now it is that. So what I'm saying is, like, I don't know what the fluid it's spewing out. It could be fine for you to drink, but like some organic fluid isn't fine for you to drink.
I guess it's going to be one of three things. Semen, urine, or blood.
Or pus.
Or pus. Sure, yeah, because it does look pretty disgusting and infected.
Mm-hmm.
So pus is, I think I would like pus the least. That would be like my last choice.
Same.
Would be the pus. I think blood would be the next to last choice.
Yeah.
And then I think semen might be the next to last choice. And then urine would be what I would prefer, I suppose, in that situation.
Urine's clean and sterile, guys.
Sterile.
So
that's what Tyler
semen.
Durden taught me. Well, I guess semen is as well, but I think urine would go down easier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not as thick.
Well, not supposed to be. Some people do have thick urine.
Maybe it's just they're trying to like squeeze it out too hard and it's actually semen. They're like, damn, I got some
silly kids.
I have some white, thick urine. It's like, dude, that's not. And they're like, no, 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 no. God says I'm not allowed to do the other thing. This is urine.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything to plug?
Always. Right now, we're doing Sweet Child of Time. We're recapping Dark. We just started season 2, and we're going to be recording season 2, episode 2. I think tomorrow, as a matter of fact. That's been going really well. Introvoid, I have 4 songs that are like 75% done. I've already kind of greased the wheels with James a little bit, like, maybe you can help me with this. And James is like, give me something to work with and I'll work with it. So that might happen at some point in the future. What I'm really into is doing, helping you out, doing a remix of Anal Dentata, but that doesn't come out until like October, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I plan for some Introvoid stuff to come out before October. But Sweet Child of Time is weekly. That's my plug.
Hell yeah. Nicole?
As always, follow Darling Homebody on social media and visit darlinghomebody.com.
Hey guys, head over to mlmpod.com to find out information about my other podcast. Hey, check out my music. We just talked about it under Marshland Monster, wherever music is found. Just put out a new song. I mean, live streamers, it will be later. But if you're listening to this as a podcast in the future, hey, Ill-Fated Brigade with Dragon Boy Suede was just released. Go check that out. And finally, head over to patreon.com/MLM pod, where for $5 a month, you get exclusive content every single Friday. And if you're a $10 patron, oh boy, you get some good stuff monthly. And I will say, we will be releasing an episode of Mostly Speaking Sentai After Dark, where Nicole will be discussing what happened at Anime Midwest, and we'll be doing the season finale of Akiba Ranger Season 1. So please hop on over to that. It's going to be a good time. And if you're a $10 patron, you get monthly exclusive content, and you get shout-outs on every single free feed podcast. So let's begin with those, starting with Steve F., Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z., The Waz, Orion, he's a producer now, don't know his producer name, Jordan B., The Chaos Witch, my Bickle brother in common law, Joshua, Jakus, Steve Barnes, he's right here, baby, The Womb in Which I Emerged, my mother, Lil Corey's BFF, and now former roommate Shane, that fed. Twitch.tv/Corwinning. It's Corwin. You'll be seeing him tomorrow night or the next week. And then finally, you heard him on the previous episode. It's twitch.tv/FromTheRomComplex. R2Shelby2. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
And Steve.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Sentai. Bye-bye. This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.
Oh, yeah.